From a small town to the national stage, Arshi Ghosh isn't just wearing the crown. She's rewriting what it means to be a queen. This is her story, raw, bold, and unapologetically trans. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having
me. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic with you, of course.
I want to know more about your journey. Like, what led you to deciding that you want to transition from a man to a woman? And what were your difficulties? Who was your idol? I just want to know everything.
Okay, to start with, I was never a man. Okay, I was born in a male body, but I was never a man. I never felt like a man. Since birth, I always felt like a woman. Growing up, I grew up, having so many fantasies and, even small things, not only big fantasies, but small things like playing with dolls and, making hair or anything like very feminine. I used to not go out and play cricket and stuff. But yeah, I grew up like that I never felt like a man. So we have to start from there, that I was never a man. But yeah, I had to transition my body because my body and my soul was not aligned and I had to do that.
Okay. I remember asking you in our previous discussion also that sometimes it's a lot easier to just do things which are external to our body and then enjoy the feel of that, because obviously society has gendered a lot of things. They've gendered clothes, they've gendered colors, and they've also gendered the genders. So, we understand that a girl always has to like pink or a boy has to like blue, etc., etc. And I was asking you also that why can you just not wear what you like or do what you like instead of like transitioning, instead of making your body go through this and also fighting the society?
Why can't we just... You just answered by yourself, honestly. You said, why can't we wear what I like? So I like to wear a female body. That's the answer. So, yeah, I mean, it's not always about wearing a cloth or wearing hair extension, but it could be something which I own, when I'm... it's not that I'm wearing something and removing it. I don't want to remove this. Mm. I want to have it mine. So I want to wear a female body forever of my life. Okay. That's what it is.
And you went from Siliguri, which is a small town in West Bengal, to Bombay, the city of dreams. And as much as I know you and your family, they have been very supportive. Of course, there have been ups and downs. So what has that been like for you, like entering Bombay and you reaching the point of surgery? How did that play about? How, and you didn't know anyone. So how did that happen?
So I was not born in Siliguri. I was studying there and I was actually born in a very quaint village, very far, I think 5 hours drive from Siliguri. It's a proper village. I remember growing up, we didn't have electricity, we didn't have television. That's a different world. Yeah, of course, growing up, I think when I was, I was in 7th or 8th standard, when we had electricity first. Can you imagine, like, when I was 7th standard, that time we got electricity. Before that, we used to use, I don't know what you guys call it, hurricane. So from that, oil lamp to your shining superstar, this graph is crazy, like, from here to here.
Yeah.
And I think throughout, there were ups and downs, but I never stopped looking down. No matter what, I always kept looking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what keeps me going. From there, I was very good at study. So I despite of the bullying and despite of the everything which was happening with me, I just kept studying. And I knew that if I have any way to escape this reality of life,
mm-hmm.
that would be through study. So then I, from my village, I went to Siliguri for further study. I studied applied geography, master's in applied geography. And after that, when I realized and I discovered myself, I was like, yeah, I cannot pursue my dream life in this environment, so I had to, like, you know, move myself somewhere where I would feel more safe, I would feel more comfortable, and more importantly, where people will welcome me. So yeah, then I decided to move to Bombay, and I had no idea how I honestly made it. I did not know anyone from Bombay. It was a completely foreign city for me. I remember when I went, and I think for 2 months I was just searching for a makeup school. During that time, I changed my number also. I did not have anyone to talk to. I remember, I think for 1 month, my mouth was shut. Like, literally, I was not talking to anyone other than the grocery shopper. So, you know, I didn't know the language, I didn't know the culture, the food is different, everything is different. It was complete foreign city for me. And I don't know, life has taught me to adjust, and that's how we went. I just kept adjusting, kept adapting, and yeah, here we are.
I want to know a little bit about your surgery, because you explained to me, and I know that maybe I can call myself ignorant, that I had no idea about it, and I was also very dumbstruck when I was asking you this question, but you explained it so nicely. So I also want, like, other people to know at least the basic understanding of it.
Okay, so not only the surgery, I think I'll give a basic understanding of the whole transition process. And of course, you don't have to feel sorry or anything about it. Like, I have no idea about many other things, like maybe some serious condition of heart or kidney. Until we have it, or until we face it, or until we have someone around, we don't really research about it. But yeah, this is I mean, you don't have to know deep knowledge, you don't have to have deep knowledge, but you can just have some curiosity to know. That's great, actually. So transition starts from psychiatric counseling. So first thing first, you'll have to go to a psychiatrist, and they have to give you a certificate saying that you are mentally stable, you are ready to go under transition, and you'll have to go through some psychological tests and all. And after that, with that certificate, you'll have to go to the endocrinologist, which is a hormones doctor. So if you're transitioning from male to female, in a male body, we have lots of testosterone and very less amount of estrogen. So what they do is they blocks the testosterone with some pills, and they will input, like, from outside, maybe in form of a tablet or patches. There are many other forms. They will input estrogen. And when you're transitioning from female to male, it's the other way around. So yeah, and this is the longest process of transition, the hormone therapy. It's called HRT, hormone replacement therapy. It takes around 1 year to 2 or 2.5. For me, it took around 2.5. And then once your body is done, you can go for the surgery. But before that, see, transition, I feel it's a process. It's an ongoing process. It's a never-ending process. There are so many things people would do. It's completely personal choice. Someone would do facial feminization. Someone would prefer breast augmentations. Someone might not prefer that. So it varies person to person. But basics is psychiatrist, then endocrinologist, and then the surgeon. And the surgery, it's called vaginoplasty. Now, this vaginoplasty has so many types. There are mainly 4 types. One is skin grafting, which is like they just use the skin around the genital area to create a shape of vagina. Then there is penile inversion vaginoplasty, in which they use the penile skin and they invert it and they make a vaginal canal. Then there is peritoneal pull-through vaginoplasty. So we have under the stomach, under the abdomen, we have something called peritoneal. And they pull that skin and make a vaginal canal. And then the last one is sigmoid vaginoplasty, where they take a part of intestine and they make the vaginal canal. So penile inversion is the oldest, but I think the best one is sigmoid vaginoplasty, and the most risk holder is the sigmoid vaginoplasty.
So now you are the reigning queen of Miss Trans Queen India, and you also represented India in Miss International Queen in Thailand last year.
Oh my God, dream comes true. Yeah. I remember being a little boy. I used to, come back from school, throw my bag somewhere, take my cow along with me. And I would leave my cow and I would, make hair from some cloth, and I would act like a queen. I would act like an actress. I would just imagine that I'm getting out of the car. People are just running behind me to take autograph, to take photographs, and I'm waving at them. It was literally a dream, and that has come true. From there, I never thought that I could be a beauty queen. I remember my sister bought a magazine where I saw Sushmita Sen. I don't know how, like that time I couldn't even imagine any connection. But when I saw it, I don't know, I felt that I wanna be there. I wanna be a beauty queen. But I was like, at the same time, I had this question, like, how can I be a beauty queen? I am a boy, and I don't know how it'll happen. And what I used to do, I used to take my sister's heels, high heels, and I couldn't even walk properly. But yeah, I used to take and I used to practice, and slowly, slowly, I used to cycle in high heels.
Mm.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah, so seeing Sushmita Sen on Shanonda, there's a magazine in Bengal, Shanonda, and after so many years, and then after transition, being on that same magazine cover page is just fantastic. Like, real dream comes true thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I started transition, I tried to contact Reena ma'am for Miss Trans Queen India. I was so desperate. So I texted her, and she's like, how long it's been your transition? I was like, I just started. She's like, you can't participate now. And then Miss Trans Queen India used to be my motivation to transition. I literally, always check out on their Insta page, and I would go tell my doctor that, can we just do it faster? Can we just do it faster? I want to go for this beauty pageant. And I remember my endocrinologist, he used to tell you'd make a very beautiful, beauty queen. I was like, yeah, of course, but you'll have to do your job faster to get me there. Yeah, so, and then I remember coming to Delhi for the first time for Miss Trans Queen India. Delhi has been so lucky for me. The whole journey has completely changed me. I would say evolved me, actually. Yeah, I was a different person before. It has changed so many aspects of my life. I wouldn't say it's just changed my life. It changed my family's life as well. I remember there were people who would come up to my father and say bad things about me, or maybe, try to look down to him. But after the pageant, they started, praising me. They started coming up to my father and telling that your daughter is doing very well. So I think that is the achievement I really appreciate, and I'm really grateful for this kind of grand achievement, I would say. And I'm grateful to this kind of platform, because these platforms made us seen, heard. And I mean, trust me, I was nowhere. I was not seen. I was not heard when I was a small child. I was not even beautiful. Just trust me on that. I used to look ugly. I used to hate myself. But then from there to here, it was fantastic. And after that, when I got a chance to represent India, oh my God, that was beyond my dreams. Honestly, that was beyond my dream, because when on an international stage, you scream, India,
yeah.
It's, oh my God, you cannot imagine what it feels.
Yeah. So I also want to know, like, when it comes to stereotypes, we have for everything, obviously. So I want to know two things from you when it comes to stereotypes. Like, what is the one stereotypical thing that you still either face or have in your mind, in your life in general? And also, what is this one stereotype that you feel like you crashed out of completely or and are changing for the society?
No, for that matter, so many. I mean, honestly speaking, I'm not here to break their stereotype, and I'm not here to break what is in your mind. I have no interest to deal with that. But, you know, generally what happens is with trans women, first thing is a trans means a slut. I remember just last night, I got a message saying, how much do you charge per shot? And I said, tera ghar jayenga. That's how they think of us.
That's
and
disgusting.
Of course, I stopped taking them so seriously. That's why I said, tera ghar jayenga. That is that Big Boss wala's famous dialogue. I don't take them seriously at all. And I do not have any interest to deal with them. I've dealt enough in my life and I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm so self-sufficient now.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn. And second is, I think I need to tell them that trans does not mean I have a D.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I got rid of it. You need to get rid of it too. Please don't have it in your mind.
Yeah.
I think these two are mean.
Okay. And what is the one thing that makes you powerful every day?
I try to do this, but maybe I'm not always able to do it. But I mean, of course, every day is not the same. Someday I'm really, really low and I kind of be there. But I always know that I'm going to come back. But yeah, what keeps me going is myself, my journey. I know it's nothing to be self-obsessed, but honestly saying, what inspires me is my journey. Like when I look back, I still do have a vision board where I have my old pictures, tagged, and I have my father's picture as well. I have my new photo where I'm walking for. I have this one, so.
Yeah.
Seeing my old picture and right beside there, this picture, that is the power. I see myself like where I was and where I am.
Yeah.
If I can be this, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can do anything. But of course, every day is not same. I mean, we are also human being. And I think it's the hardest thing when people always assume that you're the strongest person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't need anything. You can deal with everything. No, at the end of the day, we also need people. We are human beings.
But I also want to understand, like, once you've transitioned into a woman, why would you call yourself like a trans woman? Why can't you just call yourself a woman? Because that's what you're fighting for anyways in the first place, right?
Okay, I never called myself trans. I never wanted to be a trans. I always felt like a female. I had the feminine energy and the energy I'm having since childhood. But now society has a term for everything. They wanna tag us. They wanna put us in boxes.
Yeah.
And we don't wish to, be in the boxes. So I would say it's something that is our past, which I am, or people like me, we are over with, but people can't be over with. And I don't know, it's my personality that I'm very crystal clear in life. I like to talk very to the point. I don't want any fuss. So why I, like, specifically I need to talk about it or mention it, because the business I'm in show business, what happens is If I'm you are hiring me as a model and you're shooting something, or maybe you have hired me for a period of time, and maybe in between you would get to know that I'm trans, and then you make the drama and fuss that, oh my God, I didn't know this and that, and you will make me feel bad about it, which I'm not. I'm very proud of it. So it's better I tell you in front, like in the beginning only, that I'm proud of myself and this is what I am.
Yeah.
If I was in corporate, if I was in any, maybe in any other sector, I would have not mentioned. But here it's about my body. They are using my body to showcase their product. So I think it's necessary.
Yeah.
Because it happened also. I do have such experiences. I went to Surat for 10 days shoot, and after one day shoot, they sent me back, and I was like, wow. I mean, I sent them my profile, and where there was my Instagram link as well. And on my Instagram, it's clearly written, Miss Trans Queen India. And you have to have some brain to understand that if it says Miss Trans Queen India, that means I'm a transition girl. And but they didn't check it out, and they got to know, and they're like, no, you know, the shoot got postponed. And I knew what is it. So I was like, it's fine. And so I just don't want to waste my energy. Even on dating apps, when I used to use, I used to always mention it, because I want to filter, you know, people, because I don't want any fuss in my life. I don't want to waste my time. I've wasted already half of my life, you know, in this confusion. I don't want to confuse myself or people. I'm like, this is what I am. If you want to accept, accept. If you don't, it's fine.
So you're very closely related to the entertainment industry in Bollywood. So you worked with actors like Ananya Pandey, Bhavna Pandey, Shah Rukh Khan, Salman Khan, and many others. So I want to know what it's like for you. Is there a sense of inclusion or discrimination? And also what it's like to, what is the LGBTQ community of that industry like?
Oh gosh, that is something very important to put some spotlight on.
Yeah.
Okay, so I started in the industry as a makeup artist. I remember starting off with fashion, then entering a film, because film schedules are very, it needs commitment, it needs no sleep, it needs so many other things. And I was not ready to do all those because of my transition, because I had to, you know, keep my body in a better position or better health. I had to maintain, so I couldn't get into film right away. So I was in fashion first. There, I would say fashion industry is much more open for LGBTQ community and queer community. There could be like 1% where I felt unsafe, but otherwise, no. 99% of the time, I was feeling safe, I was feeling included. And when I entered film, even there, I think as a makeup artist, later on I started draping sari, and I started doing styling as well. There also there were very less discrimination, but they want the queer people behind the camera, not in front of the camera. So when I decided to come in front of the camera, when I started doing modeling and acting, then the problem started. That it's like, you know, people literally used to advise me, the casting directors, the directors, the producers, they're like, I'm doing a movie, why can't you just do the makeup for the juniors, or maybe for any of the characters? I'm like, no, I want to act. And they're like, you better do the makeup. I'm like, no, I want to act, because I'm capable to act. It's not that I'm just, you know, talking out of anything. I am capable of doing that. Because after Miss Trans Queen India, I got a call from a casting company, and I auditioned for LSD2, and the director loved my audition, and even I was surprised how naturally it came. Of course, I used to act since childhood. I used to, you know, do those school dramas and all those, but I never knew that I could do that better. And when I got to know that I can do really good in acting, I started taking acting class as well. So now I'm a professional actor and I have the capability. I want to do the hard work. I want to make your product look good, your script look good. But why can't you give me an opportunity? That's like, I mean, you want me as a makeup artist, you want me as a stylist, but you can't accept me on camera because you feel insecure that we're giving the space away. But, I mean, I don't know why they feel that they have to leave their space for us. I mean, we also have our own space and we are trying our best to make our own space and we have worked hard enough to get here, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember when I used to audition for, you know, trans roles, I used to get some calls after Miss Trans Queen in India, when I was on internet that, you know, this is the trans girl of India. They used to tell, you don't look like a trans, so I can't give you a trans role. And when I used to audition for a cisgender female role, they're like, oh, it's for cisgender, so maybe the other girls would feel bad if I give it to you. I'm like, why would they feel bad? I mean, am I not earning it? I literally asked them, don't you think I'm fit for the role? Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, but then it's a cisgender role and there are other cisgender women who auditioned, and if I take you, then it'll be unfair. I'm like, how come it will be unfair?
Mm-hmm.
There are male actors who are doing transgender role. Now, Sushmita Sen has played Tali.
Yeah.
So if that is fair, and acting is acting.
Hmm.
Acting is acting. If you, and nowadays with makeup, you can do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to look masculine, you can make me look masculine, but you just don't want me to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, who are some of the people from the industry that you could call your friends or your well-wishers and the ones that have probably helped you and are still helping you?
Okay, so please keep in mind, in Bombay, in film industry, friends is very rare. There are only professional friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, all my, like, I have very, very, you know, few friends in my life, rather. But they all are from industry only. So I have one or two director friends, one or two model or actor friends, and that's it. Like, I have like very few, 4 or 5 friends. But yeah, professional friends, there are many. Who, I mean, I can reach out to them,
yeah.
I can meet them, I can go out with them, but then I'm a person who, I'm not a party person, I don't go out for partying, I'm a very peaceful person, I want to, you know, sit at home, read some book, watch something, work on my progress, and that's all. I'm not very outgoing person, so, yeah, I'm good, I don't want friends, as long as my work is smooth, it's fine.
What is a safe space for you? And how would you like the world to be a safer space for people?
Okay. A safe place for me where I can be myself without hurting anyone else's feeling. I mean, not feeling, I would say. But I would say without interfering anyone else's aura.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just cannot say that a safe place would be where I can be myself.
Yeah.
If I say that, that would be unfair, because now here I can say I want to be myself.
Mm.
I want to just dance around.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is safe for me. And if you say no to it, I would say, oh my God, you're making me unsafe. No,
yeah.
That's unfair. So I would rather say being yourself in a decent way. Decent has no definition.
Yeah.
I would say according to the situation and place, just be yourself and do not hurt other people.
Don't you think like feeling safe is like a feeling of home, a feeling of non-judgmental behavior?
Oh
like,
my God.
No, I really want to point out, like, when we were having lunch that day, that was a filled table of, like, 6-7 of us. And we spoke about anything and everything on earth. And we used words that could be so-called termed as insensitive, but without meaning any harm, because we were like, we had a lack of vocabulary when it came to expressing ourselves. And still, nobody judged anybody on the table. Like, I remember saying something and I was like, wait, am I going to get backlash for this? And everyone was like, no, but like, this is how I mean. And then this is how I mean. And we all had different opinions. And we all had like that feeling of safe space, like that we can say whatever we want, however we want, and there won't be any set of judgment.
Well, simply feeling safe means to me is having no fear of being yourself.
Yeah.
And if it was someone else, I would have said that, having a sense of home.
Yeah.
But for me, a sense of home, I unfortunately couldn't have much in my life. Mm. I always kept moving, and even at my home, I sometimes didn't feel like home because I didn't have mother. I lost my mother when I was 10 months, so I never felt that sense of home anywhere. So I had to, for me, home would be where I can be myself.
Yeah,
it could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. So I think I would relate safe to being myself,
and Amilab, on a scale of 1 to 10, how safe do you feel in your life today, and how much do you think that others around you should make that possible for you, and you would make it for them as well?
Well, I mean, to be real, I don't want to talk theory, but to be practical, I think it's about places. In Mumbai, generally, we say that Mumbai is very safe, very safe. Yeah, 90% of the time, it is very safe. But there are places where this dress would be very inappropriate. This dress would be very slutty if I go. I mean, I have this experience, and I'm talking from experience. I'm not just throwing words. So, there are places where if I go in this dress, and they would be showing me money, and kitna they will ask. And there are places where if I go in like a full length or some dupatta or something, then there are people who will stare. I think it's about place where you are that matters a lot. I mean, even in life, I feel the people you're around, that matters a lot, and that sometimes defines you as well. I mean, I've read somewhere that five of your closest person, the average of the five people defines you. So I even heard this that if you make an average of the five closest friend of their salaries, make an average of their salaries, that would be your salary.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. But I think the place and people you're around, that matters a lot. And I think that's how you bring the sense of safe.
Yeah. Okay. And what is this one thing from West Bengal that you've carried with you and you will carry with you for the rest of your life?
Oh gosh, I'm trying so hard to carry it. People, please let me carry this part, that I'm trying to carry the sweetness from Bengal, but I realized so late that it doesn't work.
The world
is not as sweet as it looks. You know, sometimes it had happened so many times with me. So I grew up in a very humble environment. Yeah. I grew up in a village where, since childhood, my father has taught me to be humble, to please people. I don't know this. I know now I realize that it's bad. You don't have to be people pleaser, but it was so normalized in that culture. And to be so sweet. But later on, I understood that there are so many places where it's bad to be sweet. You know, people would judge you for being sweet. Yeah. I'm like, how can you judge me for being sweet? They would be, chipak rahe hain. And they would be like, maybe she needs something, or maybe dore dal rahe. I learned all these words. I'm like, no, I'm not snatching anything from you. It's just how I am. I am just organically sweet. And you know, I remember my friend has taught me this, that you don't have to be unnecessarily sweet at so many places. Like before, I used to talk so sweetly with cab drivers, with like the basic services I used to get. I used to be so sweet, and it used to come so organically.
Naturally,
but then they started to react some like something else. They started to take me for granted, and they would take it as a green signal somewhere. I was like, when did I give a signal? This is how I talk. I think the sweetness, I'm trying so hard to carry it, but I don't know how long I would be able to carry it.
No, I think this world is a scary world, and I was reading this book by Bell Hooks also, started yesterday, all about love. And I felt like she's always said that now this generation is so feared from love. They're scared it.
Yeah.
That if someone gives love, they're like, why are you giving it? We're scared because it's going to go away.
Exactly.
So any kind of love. And I feel like that in my experience also, I had so much love to give. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my experiences at this point, like I feel like not even 10% of what I used to give earlier I have left in me, and it annoys me. But at the same time, every time I feel like I want to do something for someone, I'm like, man, I don't know if they're worth it or not anymore.
The world is changing
so
fast.
It sucks, and I just feel like if we lived a little more humbly, I think life would be better for everyone. But now that we're coming to an end, I would like you to answer this last segment for us, which is, what advice would you give to anyone who wants to go beyond the border?
Well, it could be in general also, but specifically for people who are planning to transition, I would say, please, please, please find a purpose in life first. I mean, transition, don't make transition your life purpose. Transition cannot be your purpose for life, because it's just a part, a very small part of your life. Because if you make transition as a part of your life, after you're done transitioning, then what? And you'll have to understand one thing, that nowadays, especially nowadays, people are like very impatient. They want it now. They want it now. I'm like, darling, transition is a process which will keep happening lifetime.
Mm.
I read somewhere, why a building called a building even when it's done?
Mm.
Because it's an ongoing process. Who knows if I would reach the goal? Who knows if I would finish the transition? Kya pata usse pehle main mar jaun? We must enjoy our life in present time. We must enjoy the process. I think that's what this generation really needs to understand.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on our podcast, and I'm really grateful for you, and I'm really grateful for the fact that you're here always inspiring everybody, and you are selfless, and I hope you continue to be selfless and at the same time love yourself enough.
It's very hard to be selfless in this world. Oh my God.
Oh
it's
my
so
God.
Hard.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm trying to be, and thank you so much for having me. I love you. Bye.
You too. Thank you so much for staying until the end. To help us continue these conversations, please subscribe on YouTube and like and follow on Instagram and Spotify.